everybody, grab your Bible and a pencil and a journal and maybe even a cup of coffee and join in on our conversation. But first, I would like for you to write this down. Mark 15, verses 33 and 34. And when the sixth hour had come, darkness had fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Hey everyone, welcome to Write This Down with Dot Bowen. My name is Kara. I am Dot's daughter, and every week we sit down together and we talk through truth and scripture, and we are diving into a little mini series, if you will, leading up to Easter. We are going to be talking about the Friday of Easter, the Saturday, and then the Sunday. And in this episode, we are talking about Good Friday. So we are really glad that you're here, and we would love for you to pull up a chair and join in our conversation.
Hey, Kara. You are laughing at this conversation.
I am laughing at you because I'm like, of all verses to talk about the Friday before Easter, it's the one with, I don't even know. I mean, I'm sure you said it right. I wouldn't know any different.
Well, the L-O-I, L-O-I, lama sabachthani, sabachthani. So that's how you say
it. I know,
it
just sounds funny.
I know.
I know. It just, I mean, it's a different language, so it just sounds funny. But that's why I'm laughing, because I'm like, I don't know. You could have said it right. You could have botched it. I would not know the difference. So you did great. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, today, leading up to Easter, this is a huge night. This is Friday night. Jesus has had sweet moments with the disciples, and he'd washed their feet. They'd had the Lord's Supper, and he knew. He knew.
Yeah, it's Good Friday. Basically.
Mm-hmm. Basically. Yeah. And I wonder why we call it Good Friday.
Well, isn't it just perspective? Because in some ways it is Good Friday, because this is the whole reason he came. If Friday hadn't happened, Sunday wouldn't happen, which is, I think, a lot of suffering, you know? Depends on how you look at it.
And it still hurts no matter how you look at it. But, you know, I think for me, you know, we always talk about the agony in Gethsemane and how Jesus fell down and cried out to God. Right before this, you know, let this cup pass from me. Now we see Jesus crying out again. And I think one of the things that, you know, we're talking about, like, is it good? Was good for us because Jesus is dying for our sins. Humanly speaking, Jesus as a man, the God-man, wasn't so great for him. This was a really hard time. And I think in Gethsemane, when he was crying, you know, let this cup pass. I think we've talked about this. It wasn't about the suffering. It wasn't about, you know, the crown of thorns. It wasn't the mocking. It wasn't all of that. I think it was this, what we were talking about, where God had forsaken him.
Yeah.
Because sin, our sin, my sin, your sin. I think that's the key thing. We think about sin being on Jesus. We don't realize it's our sin. I think we have to need to grab hold of that.
I've heard a lot of people preach or teach about why the cross was so hard, you know, why he wanted the cup to pass from him and all that. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember, because I feel like I've heard different people say different things.
Sure.
But I do think the one thing that would make sense to me in terms of like what I know about Jesus, like this was the whole reason he came to the earth, was to die and to, you know, be raised from the dead. Like this whole weekend of Easter.
Pay for our sin.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so the only thing that makes sense to me is that he wouldn't want to be separated from his father, which, and I think it goes back to like, I don't even know what it would have felt like or been like to have the world's sin placed on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. Like I think that alone would have been like, I can't wrap my mind around that. Like what did that even feel like? What was that like? And I think it goes back to like what sin is. It's the separation between man and God, us and the Lord. And so I think that's it, where it's like, in order for the sin to be placed on Jesus, he had to be separated. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, it's just such a crazy, it's just harder to like really wrap my mind around, because at the same time I'm like, but he's also God. So how could he be separated? And I think it goes, back to like even the Trinity, where it's like, I don't even fully understand it. I just kind of accept it that there is a Trinity and, you know, it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God. They're all the same, but they're all different. They're all, you know, like, I can't get into that because I don't. So it's like, okay, was Jesus separated from himself? Because if he's God, but it, you know, so.
He's God, but there's also a heavenly Father. There's a God, Jehovah. Then there's Jesus that is also God, but, and he's the Savior. I think that one of the key things about this moment of where God was separated with Jesus, I totally agree. I believe that that was what Jesus dreaded the most. And I think, you know, sin is definitely, you know, a lot of people talk about what is sin. And it's like, you know, even heard like it was just missing the mark. You know, I think sin is evil. I think sin is when Satan came in and tempted Eve to go against God. I think
that
darkness for 3 hours was this darkness. And I think that's where evil was totally placed on Jesus.
And it's not that he was evil. It was just that he was bearing the weight of that.
Right.
Of that, of the heaviness of it. I can only like equate it to, and this is not even, this is such a like minor, but it's like whenever, if I'm feeling like down or like guilt, or like if I've done something I know I shouldn't have done, like that heaviness I feel in my heart, that's how I imagine. It's like this weight, like this unbearable weight.
I think that obviously that is sin. Yeah, but it's...
Yeah, I'm just saying like that's what he was. He wasn't evil, but it was just placed on him, like this weight of evil was placed on him, right?
Yes, it's true, but I want to just kind of look at it in a different way. Like what you said is when I've sinned or I know I've done something wrong, there's this weight, there's this heaviness, there's this darkness that comes over you. And that's true. That's what sin does. Sin separates, sin divides, sin destroys.
Right.
You know, for the wages of sin is death. Something always does. And I think that with this particular thing is like when I do something wrong or you do something wrong and my sin affects someone else that I love that has carrying the weight of the consequences of my sin, that's heavy too. And I think that that's where it's really, really hard. Like Jesus did not sin. Jesus was sinless. So it's one of those things where the weight or, you know, when you're in a relationship with people and you care about people and they are doing something wrong, it's that heaviness, it's that weight. You're not doing it, but because you love them and you see them and because you care about them, their sin and what's happening affects you. You know, we don't live alone. We don't.
Yeah, people affect us.
Yes. And so I think that's what's even, you know, harder is that sometimes we are, you know, products or we are victims of someone else's sin. You know, that goes on a lot of things. It's like children that have been abused by their parents, you know, they're victims. They haven't done anything wrong, but the sins of their parents, then they're affected by that. So that darkness, I just want us to realize that that darkness was what was so bad. And to be in that place, in that darkness, and then feel like God is not there. And I think that's where a lot of people are today. They shouldn't be, because Jesus paid, Jesus experienced that for them. But a lot of people today feel forsaken by God. The only person that God has ever forsaken was his son. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's what Jesus said. That's true. Mm-hmm. But we feel that way. And I think that's where it's really hard, is to realize that what the cross was about is that, you know, you've heard this, Jesus, you know, paid for our sins. Jesus suffered so we wouldn't. Jesus took on us all the shame and the guilt. So why, if Jesus has done that, then why do we still walk around heavy, dark, feeling that way when in reality, that's not true, biblically?
Well, then why do we?
I think that we're deceived. I think that we're not realizing what is available to us. I think we are deceived, and lied to. And I think that's from the evil one.
Yeah. I think whenever I think of Good Friday and the cross, I definitely, of course, I'm like thinking about what Jesus, you know, did and the sacrifice. And I know we touched a little bit on why that was important on that episode a couple weeks ago where we talked about the Old Testament. But I always feel like I think about the disciples, though, because to me, Good Friday, it seemed hopeless. It's this idea that, and I know you have, because I do struggle with hope a lot, and you always tell me as a child of God, we're never hopeless. There's no such thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's the same principle where it's like, then why do I still feel hopeless, you know, because I am a child of God. So yeah, I was always thinking of that. That's usually like when I think of Good Friday, I reflect on that and almost like I think it helps give me hope, you know, because I think there's, you know, like for the disciples on Friday, like they had literally left everything for this man. And even though he told them, I'm going to die and be raised from the dead, it was hard for them to really see that. Like when he died on Friday, in their minds, like he gone, like he's not coming back. And so just like the hopelessness, the like despair, the pain that they felt in that moment. I don't know. And maybe because I look at it because I'm human, I look at it from those human perspective. And again, I'm not saying I don't think about what Jesus did on the cross. I'm just saying I think I always equate that to my own life of times where I feel hopeless because it helps give me hope because it's like we have no idea what, like there's such a bigger story. Like you can't look at Easter weekend. I feel like you can't focus on the Friday or the Saturday or the Sunday or the whatever. You have to see the whole thing. Like that's what makes it so powerful. It's not just looking at, because if you just looked at what happened on Friday, like of course where is the hope? But also if you just look at what happened on Sunday, it's like, well then why, like what are we celebrating? You know, like, so anyway.
It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It all comes together. But I want to talk about a little bit about what you just said about with the disciples and looking at the disciples. No matter how many times Jesus told them, I'm going to die. As a matter of fact, when Peter was like, no, time out, Jesus, don't talk about
this. Yeah, you're not going to die. Like, that's not going to,
He never said, Peter, get behind me. He said, Satan, get behind me. So we know there's a lot of evil that's playing in us. So all of the hopeless that the disciples had, which they did, was not really hopeless. They felt that way. It was their perspective. It was the way they think. Jesus told them, it's just like we're reading Jesus' words, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Those are truths. And they saw Jesus do miracle after miracle. They knew he was the Son of God. Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do the other people's? Who do you say? He said, well, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. So they knew who he was. They knew what he said. But why are they standing at that cross? Peter denying Jesus, the disciples running. Why? If they knew, if Jesus had told them, there was no hopeless in that, but they were believing lies. What they were feeling and what they were thinking, they were looking at their circumstances and they allowed their circumstances to override their truth and the joy. That's what brought them hopelessness.
Yeah. But I think too, you know, and like Jesus said a lot of things when he was here to them. And sometimes, like he would say something, but they didn't know how that was going to play out. Like they didn't know, you know, like there are times where he would say, like Jesus knew he was going to go heal someone or, you know, like Lazarus. He knew that he was going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. And he said, oh, that he's sleeping. So it was like, well, you know, like he said these things that were like, okay, it didn't really make sense because we know Lazarus died. So why do you say he's sleeping? And then, you know, so I wonder that too, where there's an element of, you know, I'm not trying to like defend the disciples, but I think that there is this element of maybe they're thinking like, well, maybe when he said this, it meant something else. Maybe it meant, you know, like they didn't really know how it would play out because so many times we do feel like the Lord said something, but we don't know how that's going to go.
And we're still twisting his words. We're still wondering how, like, did he really say this? Is this what he meant? Because we want a narrative. We want Jesus to say what we want him to say, not what he's saying. And there was a time right before he was going to die, right before he was going to, you know, be before Caiaphas, they said to him, "Oh, you're talking plainly to us now." They understood exactly what he said. And so there's no excuse for the disciples other than the fact that they looked at their circumstances and they felt hopeless and they ran and they were afraid. That's what happens when we look at our circumstances. That's what happens when we forget what God has said and our feelings override them, our circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about this, and you did not know we were going to talk about this, but over the last week, I bet I've had 4 or 5 people tell me how they struggle with loneliness. And so I was praying about this today, this morning, literally on my knees and talking about that. And I'm like, you know, God, you looked at Adam and you said, it's not good that man be alone. And you gave them Eve. And everything was good, but then sin came. Mm-hmm. And when sin came, they felt alone. When sin came and they began to question God and his word, they were together. They were still married. They were still a couple. Nothing had really changed other than the sin that separated, a sin that causes people to, something dies, whether it's a relationship mm-hmm. or communication, whatever. So this morning as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, God, loneliness, and I even catch myself doing this, oh, that's just a feeling. But I started thinking this morning, like, no, that's wrong. That's not of God. Loneliness, not one time did God say you'd be lonely. Not one time did he say that he would ever forsake you. Not one time did he say that you didn't have hope. Not one time did he say that it was of him to be lonely. And I just started journaling this, and I started writing, and I'm thinking, God, then loneliness is not of you. And so that loneliness and that feeling, just like that darkness, overshadowed the truth. That those feelings overshadowed the truth. Those disciples ran. You know, you think about feeling forsaken. Look what all Jesus did for them. And when he walked out of that grave, which, you know, spoiler alert, on Sunday he does, who was there?
Well, Mary.
No.
Nobody. I'm just kidding. I mean, Well, I think it's like anything. I mean, you know, when we feel fear or we feel, you mm-hmm. know, like I don't know. I mean, as someone who struggles with loneliness, whenever I'm feeling like that, I don't feel like it's from the Lord.
Because of the way you feel. It's that darkness. I have not talked to anyone that has said, oh, when I feel lonely, I have the light of God. I just feel the presence of God. I think we should step back and look at this, because I think we as Christians and everybody I'm talking to are strong believers. And I think we need to step back and think about this and think, wait a minute, why am I? And again, it's not guilt. It's just understanding, like, these are feelings, but this is not truth. I'm believing a lie. I believe in a lie, like, you know, you're talking about, you know, I said there's no such thing as a hopeless child of God, and there's not. And you know what? There's no such thing as a lonely child of God.
Well, you're not alone. I think you still can feel lonely, but you're not alone. You know what I mean? Like, I think that goes back. I think you can still feel, I feel hopeless, but I know that I'm not. I think it goes back to, like, our feelings aren't always true.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You can feel a lot of things. Yeah.
Right. And we can feel fear. I mean, we talked about that a few weeks ago too, where it's like I guess I'm just like, I don't feel like, I think for me, and going back to, you know, I can speak to this because I do struggle with loneliness. There's no shame in your feeling. It's what you're going to do. What are you going to do with it? Like, I don't feel like I just don't want anyone to feel like, oh, I struggle with loneliness or hopelessness. So, you know, and like shame themselves for feeling that way. It's like, well, no, but remind yourself of the truth of the cross. You know what I mean? Like, remind that Jesus was forsaken so that we would never be forsaken. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, you know, I have to do in my moments where I feel like my emotions are leading me to sin and not you know, the truth. It's when, you know, not sitting in it and not saying like, no, like this was, I'm not lonely. I feel lonely and I can, you know, bring that to the Lord. I can be sad. I can, you know, whatever, feel that. But I have to remind myself that I'm not alone.
Right. And never will be. And I think that,
right.
I think that's why I want to talk about it, because I think there are a lot of people that are listening in on our conversation and are feeling extremely lonely. And I just want to say this, it's a feeling. That's what it is. It is not true. And I think until we really recognize that this is a feeling, and that feeling, if it's not checked with truth, because it's a lie. So the lie is producing the feeling of darkness and heaviness and alone and hopelessness. So, you know, to me, it's like, well, let's just sit back and reexamine this and say, wait a minute, Jesus was forsaken and I never will be. Jesus was left alone. Jesus walked out of that tomb. Not one disciple was there. And then when they told him that the tomb was empty, they didn't believe it.
They didn't believe it. They thought someone stole the body.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, so those things. So they might have felt fear and hopelessness in that room and alone. What? Now we've left everything, as you know, said. Now what are we going to do? Don't you think that they probably felt pretty lonely about this time? And so, but it's not true. And so if we want to really talk about truth and talk about what Jesus did provide for us, he was left alone. He was forsaken so that we wouldn't have to be. And so if I'm feeling that way, I think I need to remind myself, wait a minute, this is not of God. And not feeling shame. I'm not saying feeling shame. Just tell yourself the truth. Forget worrying about feeling shame. Don't beat yourself up. Just tell yourself truth.
No, yeah. I just think, I mean, I always tell people, you say this, and I might have even said this on here, but you say feelings are like gas. They come and go.
Yeah.
And so it's that.
Thanks
it's like
for telling everybody
you may
that.
Feel,
that's real.
Well, it's, but yeah. I say true. It all the time, because when if I'm talking to someone, they're like, oh, I just feel blank. And I know that it's, that feeling is not true, because we also can feel a feeling that is true. We can feel loved by God. We can feel. So it's not that all our feelings, but it's just, it's recognizing like, okay, one moment I can feel loved. The next moment I can feel hated by God. Mm-hmm. One moment I can feel like God is super close. The next moment I can feel like, you know, I'm alone and he's nowhere to be found. So, and I think that's what it is you can't, because I think sometimes if we feel loved, like sometimes we don't even let ourselves feel loved, you know? And so I think it goes with whatever emotion it is, but always taking it to the Lord and being like, okay, like I know, you know, if you don't feel loved, you know, if you feel like God is, you know, abandoned or hates you or, you know, is ashamed of you or whatever, it's like, well, that doesn't go, like taking that emotion, like I know that's not true of because of what happened on the cross. And I think that kind of is what I was saying a minute ago about the hopelessness is, even if it's around Easter or not around Easter, I do think about Good Friday a lot, especially when I'm struggling with hope or hopelessness, because Good Friday shows that whatever, if I am feeling like hopeless, there is always hope, because there is always a Sunday coming. I don't know, it may not be in 3 days, but there is hope, because I'm a child of God, because I do believe in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and I follow that to my grave. So, yeah, I feel like that is just reminding ourselves of those things.
And I think when we feel forsaken, when we feel hopeless, when we feel lonely, I think that suffering, I think that darkness, I think that heaviness, I think it's a part of suffering. And in Scripture, it talks about, you know, sharing in the sufferings of God. That's not what God wants us to share in. God doesn't want us to share in the sin and the weight of the sin and the shame and the guilt. That's not what he wants. When you're sharing in the sufferings of God, that means that we are suffering for doing what is the right thing. That means we're suffering for living a life that is godly. And if you are living a life that's obedient to the Lord, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some things that's going to, you're going to have to know that you won't have. There's some things that you know that you're going to have to give up. There's going to be some friends that you may have to walk away from. There may be some activities and things that you want to do. That, you know, to me, when we're sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, it's not sharing in those things.
Well, I think it's ultimately saying it's hard to be a follower of Jesus. Like, that's right. What it boils down to. And so, I mean, I do think that there, you know, we do have suffering that is based off consequences, mm-hmm. you know, of our own sin and, yeah, the world. But I think about even going back to the loneliness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am lonely because I am choosing to wait on the right person. I'm choosing.
And that's suffering for righteousness.
To not, that's what I was going to say is yeah. I think that there, you know, like I could easily go be not mm-hmm. lonely with someone or even just with friends of like, I don't mm-hmm. want to just like, you know, go out and have just any, you know, like there's,
yeah.
I do feel like I'm, you know, doing what I can do and I'm still feel lonely, but I do think that's why I don't feel like my loneliness is my identity or taking over, because I do think that I feel like God has given me grace in my loneliness mm-hmm. because I, and in some ways I'm kind of choosing it because I'm choosing
yeah. obedience.
I'm choosing to wait. I'm choosing, you know, for who he wants and, you know, to not just,
well, and, you know, Jesus did teach, you know, the way is narrow. So, you know, like that's what you're talking about is that.
Yeah. Like, so I think that's where he's like, he is sharing in my suffering. He is. And I think that, you know, there's, I don't know where it is, but it talks about how, you know, with Jesus, when he came to earth, like he understands, like there's an empathy, there's a compassion. Like, I mean, we see in the Old Testament, it says that God mm-hmm. is compassionate. So I think his compassion was always there. Mm-hmm. But I think there's another level because Jesus experienced it. It's just like anything. Like I can have compassion for someone who, you know, has lost a parent, but I don't, like, fortunately, like I can't empathize with that to a level mm-hmm. that right. someone who's lost a parent can't. You know, so I think that's kind of it too, where it's like Jesus can empathize and have compassion for us, with us, in a way that is so much deeper because of, you know, him coming to earth as mm-hmm. human. And so, yeah, so I think... And I don't know what I think, but.
Well, I think what you're saying is that Jesus sympathized. We don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with our weakness, that in all things he experienced all things. And I think what we're, you know, kind of saying is that the suffering, sometimes suffering for righteousness, sometimes in this world that's totally going against everything that God teaches, and you're trying to do the right thing. Like you said, you could just go and get married. Or you could have friends that are not the right friends. And I, by the way, as a mom, I want to say thank you for not choosing that way and being obedient. But sometimes doing the right thing does cause you to feel like, as far as the world's concerned, you're alone. But and I think we even talked about this, you know, even this week, you can be in a crowd, but still feel alone. And I think that I think that's the darkness. I think that's when the sin is. I think that's when you're believing a lie mm-hmm. that, you know, you could go and do those things, but you would feel so alone because you knew that you would have to give up something. And that would be your obedience. That would be your peace that you have in obedience and doing what God is asking you to do. So there's, you know, there's always that peace versus happiness. Mm-hmm. So you might be happy for a moment, but that peace of being obedient to what God wants you to is forever. And I think, you know, as we're talking about Good Friday and the suffering and what Jesus did, how that Jesus was forsaken so that we would never be. And Jesus was left alone. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he said, I'll never leave you. He didn't, you know, we always talk about, well, I'm never forsaken. You're never forsaken. God's always on your side, but he's never going to leave you. That's why Jesus said, it's good I go away, so I send the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're saying is that we might feel this way, but doesn't mean it's true. And that's where we have to kind of start checking our feelings and saying, is this true or is this a lie?
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, we're, talking about, you know, Easter weekend, which is in a couple weeks, but I feel mm-hmm. like for these next couple weeks, you know, like thinking about Good Friday and thinking, okay, like what am I struggling with? What am I feeling that contradicts what scripture says? You know, yeah. like am I feeling not loved? Am I feeling like he's abandoned me? Do I feel like he's not listening to me? Do I feel, you know, whatever, do I feel lonely?
Hopeless.
Do I feel fear? Do I feel hopeless? Yeah. And just reminding ourselves like of the cross, you know, like I think we, and I know, you know, we'll talk about the rest of Easter in the next couple of weeks, but I think Sunday and what happens on Easter means so much more or hits so differently mm-hmm. when we can sit in Friday, when we can like, yeah. and not sit in Friday, like sit in darkness. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But when we can like acknowledge what happened, like we can acknowledge that like he took, like Jesus felt, like we said, like Jesus felt the separation from God that we, mm-hmm. so we never have to. And so that's what I mean. I don't mean, please don't sit in darkness on what happened on Good Friday. But I just mean sitting. yeah. but sitting on like what that really means.
What it means.
And maybe it means different based on where you are. And for me, with dealing with loneliness or hopelessness, that's what it means. It means like I am not lonely and I am not hopeless because of what happened on Good Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, Kara, I've heard this so much and I know probably you've heard it too. If you ever struggle feeling like you're not loved or you're not chosen or you're not picked, you go look at the cross. And that's the biggest story at the cross. And that's the biggest thing on Friday is that Jesus was willing to go through that. It's one thing for us to deal and reap the consequences of our sins. It's another for Jesus to willingly take the consequences of our sin. And that's huge as a love. And that's where I think what you're saying about sit in that. Think about that for a minute and say, if that's true, God, which it is, and I want you to write that down, because if it's true that I'm so loved by God, if it's true that I'm never alone, if it's true that I do have hope. And God, if that's what you're saying, then how can I apply that in my life? How can I live that out? How can I put that, you know, in my situation or my circumstances when I feel unloved, mm-hmm. when I feel forsaken, or I feel lonely?
Yeah, I feel like too, thinking of it, this is not personally because I think God has redeemed and healed this part of my heart and story, mm-hmm. but I could name so many women that I know, friends, mm-hmm. women that struggle with not, they just want to be chosen. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard for me because I'm like, but you are. And I think that's mm-hmm. a lot of like sitting in that too, because I think that's such a common feeling, especially for a woman is, and I think men can feel that too, but mm-hmm. I just think, at least I hear so many women who say that of like, I just want to be chosen. And I think sitting in that of, you know, was it not enough that Jesus chose to die mm-hmm. for you, not just chose you, yeah. but chose to literally do whatever it took
to be
with you.
Everything.
Yeah. And I think I keep that in check with myself. And that's probably why it's not a huge struggle for me, is because I'm always asking myself, like, if I'm feeling like that's not enough, like, yeah, Jesus chose me, you know, like, I would rather someone else choose me or whatever. Right. But being honest with that, with God, and being like, okay, but why do I feel like that's not enough? You know, why do I feel mm-hmm. like what you chose to do on the cross for me is not enough? And I think, I mean, I don't know, I just, because it always hurts me when I hear people saying that, you know, especially if they're friends, because I'm like, well, I mean, anyone could choose you.
yeah, but exactly.
Not only, yeah. but yeah. not only that,
but
it's like,
God
think
has,
of who, yeah. but yeah, like a whole, like literally the creator, you know, I could go on and on because it just, I have to remind myself of that a lot. And I think that's something too, like going and mm-hmm. thinking of Good Friday is like, whether that like warms, you know, like satisfies something in your heart, or if that's something where you're like, it doesn't feel like that does, like that's not enough. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
you... It doesn't.
Okay.
Then
you're
sitting
die.
With that with the Lord. Okay. Why?
You're going to die when what I'm about to tell you.
It's okay.
The Bachelor. The Bachelor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, yeah. And I've, you know, don't watch it.
Wait, why am I
going to
die?
To, but I don't. Okay, because what I'm about to say. We're all sitting around waiting on everybody. We're waiting on someone to give us a rose. We're always, you know, when you're talking about, you know, having that desire and that longing of your heart to be chosen. And, you know, you sit there and you watch The Bachelor and you're watching them going, what are you doing? Like, you know, he doesn't care about you. You're going to sit there and let him choose, you know, all these people and you're just sitting there begging to mm-hmm. be chosen. And I do remember a time in your life that was a big deal for you, that you just
yeah.
Just
well,
be
I was not. I was never chosen. Yeah. I was never the girl who had a date to anything. I did not get dates to the homecoming or prom or. Yeah, I was never chosen, and I'm not saying it doesn't still sting. Yeah. But it God has for sure healed that because I just want to say it because I feel like people would not. I think that surprises people that
it does,
that is my
because you're beautiful
story
inside and out. Well, and I know I'm your mom, but you are. But
well,
you know, I just want to say this.
I don't know about that, but
well, I think you are. But here's the deal. It's like we can sit around with sitting around with a bunch of girls just begging for some guy to give us a rose. And then here comes Jesus. And he takes the thorn. He takes the crown of thorns. And he allows them to dig that down deep in his head. And he takes the nails. And he allows them to take the nails. Now, he could have come off that cross, you know. He did not have to do it. And I just think about him looking at you with that thorns, with those thorns, you know, with roses, there's always thorns. And he took the thorns and they put it on his head, the very part of creation that sin destroyed, put it on his head, put the nails. You remember, because in sin, they cursed the ground. That's what thorns are. And so they put it on his head. Nailed, you know, hammered the nails into his wrist kind of area, and he hung on that cross. And he, you know, had you in mind, had me. I mean, who do you want to love you the most? Someone that's just trying to pick you out of a group of so many women? Or do you want someone that's going to love you unconditionally, that loves you for who you are, and says, I love you so much, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm giving you everything. I'm not giving you just the rose. I'm giving you my life. And I think that that's commitment and that is love. And I think when you give your heart to someone like that, you're going to have to share in the suffering. Because in this world, they don't understand that. And I just think that as we enter into the, you know, into Saturday, knowing that they're waiting as part of suffering. And, but for right now, I think, you know, as you're in on this conversation, I just want you to write this down. Who's going to ever going to love you so much that no matter what you do, no matter who you are, how you look, what you can do, what you can't do, they say, I chose you. I love you. And I'm going to give everything that I have to you. That's how much I love you. That's really what Friday's all about. And that's really what the cross is about.
Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you could be a part of our conversation. To continue the conversation, you can find Dot on social media at Dot Bowen or visit her website, dotbowen.com. Subscribe, like, and share with your friends, and we will see you next week on Write This Down with Dot Bowen.